New heading. Institutionalized moral authority. Aligned organizations and institutions that are truly principle-centered have institutionalized moral authority. Institutionalized moral authority is the institutional capacity to consistently produce quality, trusting relationships with various stakeholders, and continued focus upon efficiency, speed, flexibility, and market friendliness. Certain individuals may blow it from time to time, but the institution handles them appropriately and moves on. We see institutionalized moral authority all the time in countries that have culturally sustained constitutions, written or unwritten. Individual leaders may not always act consistently with their constitutions, but these countries are able to build on the strengths of the individual leaders and rely on the rest of government to essentially make these leaders' weaknesses irrelevant. This wouldn't be the case with dictatorships or with tender, newly developing democracies that are still filled with codependent and culturally endorsed corruption. Admittedly, corrupt, dictatorial, or ego-driven leaders can do a lot of damage for a period of time, even when there's a great deal of institutionalized moral authority. But usually the organization or institution bounces back. Fundamentally, the power is in the system, not in the elected officials or appointed bureaucrats. The system is stronger than the individual weaknesses of the participants. This is why the Marriott Corporation teaches that the devil lies in the details, but success lies in the systems. I visited recently with J.W. Bill Marriott, chairman and CEO of Marriott International, the world's largest hotel operator. Bill and his father before him created one of the finest organizations in the world, and they've done it in part by creating a communication system that taps into the genius of their people. "The biggest lesson I've learned through the years is to listen to your people," he told me. "I find that if you have senior managers who really gather their people around them, then if you sit around a table with those managers and listen to their input, you make a lot better decisions." His appreciation of that lesson came early in life. He told me of an encounter with one of the world's most renowned leaders, President Dwight David Eisenhower. He put it this way. "I was finishing up college and had been in the Navy for 6 months and had come home from the Supply Corps school for Christmas. And the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Ezra Taft Benson, came down to our farm with General Eisenhower. Eisenhower was president, and I was an ensign in the Navy. It was colder than blazes outside," Marriott said, "but my dad had put these targets up for shooting. He asked President Eisenhower, 'Do you want to go out and shoot or stay by the fire?' He turned around to me and asked, 'What do you think, Ensign?' Even the day telling me the story, Marriott seemed stunned. I said to myself, 'You know, that's how he's got by dealing with De Gaulle, Churchill, Marshall, Roosevelt, Stalin, Montgomery, Bradley, and Patton. He asked that golden question, "What do you think?" So I said, 'Mr. President, it's too cold out there. Stay inside by the fire.'" To this day, Marriott said, that lesson has stayed with him. "It was a real defining moment for me," he told me. "I remember thinking afterwards, if I ever get into business, I'm going to ask that question. And if I do, I'll bet I get some pretty good information." Close quote. That's why Bill Marriott has structured his hotel chain the way he has, creating a culture that encourages communication both up and down the line. He realizes that simply asking, "What do you think?" can turn even people who are considered manual workers into knowledge workers by listening to them and respecting their experience and wisdom. He summarized by saying, "My son John was working up in New York with the division of a company that we had acquired. While in the kitchen, he walked up to one of the people and said, 'We've got this problem out front. What do you think we should do?' Tears came to the eyes of this worker as he answered, 'I've worked with this old company for 20 years, and no one has ever asked me my opinion about anything.'